Good morning, everyone. This is a great way to start a new year together. It's awesome. It's pretty amazing that we're standing here worshiping together on the first day of 2006. That just blows me away. New Year's Day for me is got to be one of my favorite days of the whole year. It's that day when you can kind of just relax, let down all of the frenzy and the rush of Christmas is pretty much over. You know, you've tried on your new sweater, you've had some time to take back your new sweater, and it's just one of those very relaxed, unplanned sort of days. I would suspect that for some of you, it's one of the rare days of the year when you feel like it's okay not to have a lot on your to-do list today. It's pretty much the laziest day of the year. It's just one of those days when you give yourself permission to relax and just sort of let the day unfold. New Year's, though, also brings a rare opportunity, doesn't it, to start out on something fresh and to begin a venture together, to just sort of launch out in something that's absolutely new and uncharted. That's, of course, where New Year's resolutions come from. They say that New Year's resolutions go in one ear and out the other. But there's something about that simple act of turning over the calendar year and calendar page and seeing that new year in front of you that just sort of marks for us as people a new beginning and something to launch into that's fresh. And so this morning, we're going to turn to one of the Psalms and sort of give ourselves to the Spirit of God to speak into our lives today through His Word to prepare us to meet, as you can tell, in communion with the Lord, to come before Him in communion and really ask Him to find us in His Word this morning in such a way that He prepares us to be with Him and prepares us to enter into this new year. And so turn this morning to Psalm 130, if you have a Bible. And as you turn there, I'll give you a little bit of background. Some of you probably already know that this is one of a grouping of Psalms, of 14 Psalms, that are called Psalms of Ascent. And these were poems that were read and recited and sung by the people of Israel when they traveled together once a year. They made their journey or their pilgrimage together to Jerusalem. And so this was kind of the travel or the road music of Israel. When my kids were really little, when they were, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, we used to go every year. We had this annual camping trip that we'd do, and we'd set out real early in the morning. And it wasn't long for us Dobrins to be on the road before we had to have some music. And so we brought along this stack of cassettes. And we'd, plug them in one by one. And that was our road music. And my kids to this day remember those songs, remember the lyrics, remember the melodies. And in a sense, they're sort of etched into their souls along with the memories and the conversations and the things that happened to us along the way on the road and in our experience together as we went on our camping trip. And that's really the feel and the flavor of these psalms. They were psalms that families and individuals sung and recited and immersed themselves in as they traveled together once a year to Jerusalem to meet with the Lord in the temple. But they were also songs and lyrics and words that contained ideas and struggles and expressions of faith that were to prepare their lives to walk with the Lord and to journey together with Him. And so these psalms are just very dear to the heart of Israel. And I think it's just appropriate for us as we start a new year to use these psalms and to really invite them to meet us here this morning as we prepare to meet with the Lord. And so we're going to ask the Lord in this psalm to lead us to meet with Him in communion and to prepare us to enter into really the adventure of faith that is in front of you and I in 2006. So let's look at Psalm 130. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my cry. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Like I said, New Year's Day has got to be really one of the laziest days of the year. But tomorrow, we know that the gyms are just going to be packed with people, right? Packed with these red-faced, sweaty, over-exercised and exerted individuals who are making good on that New Year's resolution, the number one New Year's resolution of America, which is what? Yeah, to lose weight or to exercise more, to somehow get yourself involved in something that'll thwart the effects of time and too much holiday celebration, and to get there to the gym and work it all out. That's a great thing. That's a great priority. It's right for us as stewards of our body to take care of our health and to give priority to those kinds of things. Even though Winston Churchill once said that the only exercise he ever got was when he was a pallbearer for his friends who died from too much exercise. Good old Winston Churchill. But I want us to look this morning as we start very carefully at where the psalm begins. It doesn't begin in the gym with a little bit of anxiety about a few extra pounds. And it doesn't begin, as we sometimes do, with this determined resolution to change, this sense that we ourselves can somehow make things better. But note where it begins. Instead, it cries to God passionately from a place that the psalmist calls the depths. And the depths are that inner world. It's that deep and restless place of the soul. One commentator says it's absolutely clear that self-help is no answer in this place. And so this is a call, really, from the heart. A call that recognizes the need. And in fact, if you look at the Psalms at all, you'll find that many of the Psalms cry out from this same place, from the depths, from this inner struggle, but for a whole variety of reasons. Psalm 5, for instance, cries out to God because of the evil that exists in the world. And we can relate to that today if we turn on the television or if we read the headlines. There's evil that exists in our context and in our reality as well. Psalm 10 is a cry, this heart, gut-wrenching cry from the depths, from someone who has been abused and who has been struck by the evil of injustice. Sometimes the Psalms cry out from fear or anxiety, like Psalm 42 that says, my tears have been my food day and night as my enemies surround me and my foes taunt me. Other Psalms seek the Lord through times of great sorrow and loss, or turn to Him in the midst of great personal suffering and pain. And so our depths, we find, get churned up by a whole variety of things. But at the core, the psalmist teaches us, it's all about a longing for more of God, a longing for more of His presence in the reality of my depths, and in the reality of my struggle, in the reality of the context of life that I face. And so we do. We cry to God from this place. I just think this is a great place for us to start our new year. Don't you? To just get quiet with the Lord for a few moments this morning and really invite Him by His Spirit to identify what bubbles up from that place. What is our heart's cry? What emerges from the depths of us? I thought about this and realized in a lot of ways this is the exact opposite of a New Year's resolution. Right? A New Year's resolution is that, you know, that determined will with a clenched fist that says, I'm going to change. You know, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make matters better in my life. And we just kind of, you know, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to do it. But this instead is a cry from the heart that says, you know what? I can't change. I can't do it. There's no way I can take another step for us into 2006 without a visitation of the Lord's presence and help and aid in my circumstance. I can't do this on my own. So I want you to take your bulletin insert this morning. You may already have it out. And you'll notice there that I've given us some space to just ask ourselves a few questions as we move into the new year this morning. And you'll see there, the first question is simply this: what do I need more of the Lord for in 2006? And as you just kind of pause for a moment and think about your life and the challenges that you face, you think about your personal life, you think maybe about your walk with the Lord and His desires for you in the next year, or you think about your family or your finances. In what area, what component of life do you sense that you just can't make it on your own? You need more of the Lord in this place starting today. Maybe it's in your marriage. You know, maybe you look at some things and you say, you know what? Things just can't go on the way they're going. And I sit with that reality and think, man, I just cannot make it another year without some significant change. And I recognize my attitudes or my own hardness of heart really needs more of the Lord. Or maybe it's as a parent, you're just feeling absolutely overwhelmed. You need more of the Lord to give you strength and endurance and wisdom. You just need more of Him. As a dad, you just want to say, Lord, I need your help to have the courage to stop checking out when the pressure is on in the family. I need more of you, Lord. Or as a mom, you say, I need more of God in my life to stop responding in such frustration and in such a hurried manner. Maybe for you, this last year has been such a difficult one that as you kind of turn that calendar page and look into 2006, you want to tell the Lord, I just need more of you for endurance and for the ability to just take some steps. This has been such a year of sorrow and loss. I need more of God just to keep going. Or it could be for some of you, you've been hearing from the Lord and it's time for you to really step out of your comfort zone. And to really, you know, you want 2006 to be a year of change and a year where you embrace some challenge in your spiritual life. And, you know, you don't want this to be just like 2002 that bled into 2003, that drifted into 2004 and 5, and years have kind of gone by. You want this to be a year of change. And you want to step up to the plate with the Lord and really enter into some new territory in your obedience to Christ. And so just take a moment this morning, right now, and talk to the Lord about that question. Lord, what do I need more of you for this morning? And then take out a pen and write down a couple of words or a sentence. We'll just do that right now in the quiet of this time. The last words of verse 2 reveal what is stirring from the psalmist's own life. He says, let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. It's his need for mercy that causes him to really throw himself upon God's character. And he counts on who God is, and that he counts on the reality that God's character is to forgive. And so he says, if you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. He says, Lord, if you're like some cosmic Santa Claus, if you're making a list and if you're out there checking it twice, no one can stand in your presence. We would all cave in under the weight of our own sin. But you are a God of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, that's the kind of God that you are. You're by nature a God of forgiveness and grace. And for some of you this morning, in order to take one step into 2006, you know that you need just a new and fresh touch of his grace and a touch of his forgiveness. You need his cleansing in order to keep going. My driveway is built on a slight incline, which is just a terrible construction with all of the, you know, all of the rain that we've had in the last couple of days. And I've got in place something that usually works, except when it gets overwhelmed. I was out there this morning checking all the little things. I have in front of my garage door, there's a gutter that is dug out in the concrete itself. And it's to siphon off water into this little well. And then in the well is a sump pump. And sump pumps are cool things. Every guy should have a sump pump. It's just invite somebody over and say, you want to look at my sump pump. It's just a good thing to have. And a sump pump's job is to pump the water from that well and deliver it into my backyard where there's a lot of space and there's no danger of flooding. But occasionally, it gets clogged up with debris. And the leaves and the dirt and the sediment and stuff from my gutters, everything kind of funnels down into this little well. And my sump pump gets clogged up. That strainer gets clogged. And what it does, its flow is restricted. Its power can't move the water from the well. And before long, it just gets overwhelmed and tired and gives up. And my garage floods. And you know what? I discovered that as hard as that thing works, it cannot clean itself. I need to reach my hand in there. I need to pull it out and then take all the little twigs and all of the junk out of the strainer. And I need to clean that thing out. And then I take it clean and I put it back in and it does what it was intended to do. It takes the water away. And sometimes it strikes me that we get just like that. Just like that little pump. We may keep trying to live life right, do it with all of our energy. We want to live life well, but because we haven't dealt with some area of sin, we get clogged up. And the debris restricts the flow of God's power. And we eventually ourselves become overwhelmed and ineffective. And that's exactly what the psalm writer discovered. He finds that God is a God of forgiveness, and he removes the debris as we turn to him. He's a God of mercy. He's full, absolutely full of loving kindness and grace. He's always ready to forgive. He's always eager to erase the stain of sin in our lives. Now, we're going to respond to the next question in a moment, but let's watch this video first. So what do you need forgiveness for this morning? When you look at the reality of your own heart today and you think about what needs to happen in this next year as you move forward, what area can you just tell God this morning, I need to be covered again in a fresh way by your love and by your blood and by your righteousness. I need to sense your forgiving grace. Be brutally honest with God this morning. It could be something you've been carrying around for a long time, and you just want this day to be a day when those chains are broken. Or it could be that this last year you've just had some debris, clog up the pump, and you want your life to get on the right track, and you want to do business with the Lord over that area this morning, you just want to come to Him and confess and bring that to the Lord. You want to start fresh this year. So let's pause for a moment with that question. What do I need His forgiveness for as I begin this new year? And just meet with the Lord and write down in a couple of words or in a sentence your response to that. The psalm continues, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. And I think really, aside from personal suffering, waiting is probably the most difficult thing, the most difficult challenge that we have in living. In waiting, we face our limitations, we become still, we realize truly that we are completely powerless. Several years ago, my wife was in the hospital. She'd been in the hospital for 2 weeks, and her blood shut down, and they rushed her in this instant of activity. They rushed her right away, threw her on a gurney, and rushed her into this, state-of-the-art surgical room with professionals, with surgeons and anesthesiologists and operating room nurses. And in this frenzy of life and death activity, they took me away to a dingy little waiting room with musty couches and last year's magazines. And in all that was going on, all I could do is wait. All I could do is cling to the promises of God. All I could do is silently sit before the Lord. And I think in some way or another, God leads each of us into that waiting room of faith where all we can do is wait and pray and claim His promises and then wait some more. Waiting means letting go. It means giving up controls, releasing the timetable, laying down my supposed rights to order things the way I want. The psalmist says that he's holding on to the word of God and he's waiting like a watchman who waits for the morning. He recognizes he has absolutely no control over the cycles of the sun and the moon. He has no ability to, flip a switch and turn on the dawn and make the darkness go away. He's powerless. He's completely unable to change his circumstances. And so all he could do is wait and hope and put his trust in the Lord. Waiting requires surrender and humility and above all, trust. For a lot of us, slowing down and waiting just seems like a big waste of time. Who wants to waste our time? We've got so much to do. Why should I wait? But it's in the humility of waiting that we discover that God truly is all that He's promised to be. And we discover that there's a hidden door of faith and hidden door of hope in God's waiting room. And so what is God asking you to wait on this morning as you look at 2006? What do you need to release and let go of? In what area of life is He calling you to wait? Is it a relationship? Is it a career move? Is it a wayward son or a daughter? Is it an illness of your own or someone close to you? An area of spiritual growth? What area is God calling you to just simply release to Him and wait? And take a minute with that thought. There's one more element of this psalm, as you can see, and we're going to get to that as we conclude our morning. But right now, we're coming to a time where we're going to come before the Lord and talk to Him about these things that have stirred up from the depths in these little moments of quiet as we desire for Him to prepare our lives for the adventure of faith that's ahead. We're going to take communion together. Communion is that reminder for each of us who have claimed Christ as our Savior and Lord, the reminder that we are covered by His love and by His blood and by His righteousness. So we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to continue in worship this morning. And the way we're going to do this is actually get up out of our seats, and we're going to come down these center aisles to the tables up here, and you're going to serve yourself communion. So there's one more element to this psalm that is just a great place for us to end this morning. The psalm starts from this place of the depths, from this inner struggle, from this place of longing, but it ends in this fantastic place of hope. And the psalmist really turns directions now. He's no longer crying out to God, but he's speaking to his brothers and sisters. He's speaking to all of Israel. He's speaking to all of those who would put their faith and their trust in God. And he says, hope in God. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all of their sins. That's just such a great word of encouragement for a new year. It tells us really we could step out with absolute confidence. No doubt some of those things that you've identified this morning present huge challenges in your life. And truly, you look at that whole thing, and sometimes a year ahead, and you think, man, how can I ever do that? How can I ever walk out of this place with a sense of resolve? And this is where it comes from. Listen to the promise here. The Lord is unfailing love. He'll go with you. He'll never let you down. His purposes for your life will never be detoured, never left undone. And he is full redemption, the psalmist says. Do you hear that? The apostle Paul said, if God is with us, then who is there that could stand against us? No matter what you face today, no matter what you anticipate in the year ahead, and no doubt there will be struggles and twists and turns in the life ahead that we never ever could have expected or prepared ourselves for. No matter what we face, this is the promise of God. He will complete the work that he's begun in your life. We can walk out of here and step into 2006 and step into this life of faith and this journey that we're on with just absolute confidence, not in ourselves and our own resources, but in who God is. Hope in Israel. Hope in the Lord. Hope in God. And so there's one final question on your sheet, and it's this. How can I celebrate and live out this confident hope? And I'm going to ask you to take that question home with you today. And later on in the evening, or maybe tomorrow, you might want to do this as a couple if you're married, or get a friend around you and bring up this question and just talk to one another and say, you know, here's some things that I really feel like the Lord has laid on my heart that I need to be paying attention to in 2006. Here's some things that have stirred up and bubbled up from inside of me. And let's talk together as the body of Christ about how we're going to live in confidence, how we're going to press into the challenges that face us. Let's talk about how we can hope in the Lord and encourage, just as the psalmist says, speak that word of hope and confidence into one another's life. And then finally, I just encourage you to take that little half sheet and stick it in your Bible someplace. Stick it in the front of your Bible, or put it on your refrigerator, or someplace that you can review, that you can come back to this time and this day and just see what the Lord has bubbled up from within, and talk to God about the process that you're in carrying out what he's begun. And just check in with the Lord. All right, well, let's stand together, and we're going to celebrate the hope that we have in Christ.